The fifth aliyah of Parshas Tezria discusses a nesek. There is a little bit of a machlokas as to what a nesek is. It is some kind of a affliction in the hair. And according to most of the Rishonim, according to the Rambam, and most of the Rishonim, it is a bald spot, presumably a bald spot in an unusual fashion. According to others, according to the Ravid, the Ramban, it is also a change in the skin, although Lav Davka, one out of the level of the other four Negayim that we've already heard about. Pidarach HaDrush, the idea that there is a issue specifically here in the beard, as the Pasuk describes here, Naga Barosh Obizakan, the Paris Yosef, discusses Al Pidarach HaDrush, the fact that the beard, once upon a time, was a proud symbol for the Jews, Hadras Panim, and then at various points in history, he was writing already before the Holocaust, but this was certainly true during the Holocaust. It became a symbol of bizayon for the Jews. It was used in such a fashion. And that, to a certain extent, is the message here in the parasha also, that as a message of tochacha, of Musar to the Jews, it could also end up being a place that is highlighted for such messages. So the Pasuk describes that there will be a Naga Barosha B'Zakan, and the next Pasuk tells us, V'ra'a kohen esanega, v'hinei marehu amok min ha'or, uvo ser tzahov dok, v'timeo so ha'kohen nesaku, tzara sarosh o zakan hu. So the kohen will look, and he sees that if the appearance is deeper than the skin, and there is a hair in it that is an unusual color, a yellow color, a golden color. So then is this type of nesek, and the Kohen pronounces him to be Tame. But the next pasuk says, V'chiyira ha-Kohen esnega ha-nesek, v'hine eimarehu amok min ha-or, v'siyar shachor einbo, v'hiskir ha-Kohen esnega ha-nesek shivas yamin. But if it doesn't look deeper, but, on the other hand, there's also no black hair, so that would have been a siman of Tara. And here, we don't mean necessarily black hair, but the assumption is that that's the default, that's the natural color. That would have been a siman of Tara. So if there is such a siman, that would have declared him to be Tara. But if there is the absence of either one, so then the Kohen pronounces him the Hesker for 7 days. The next pasuk tells us, V'ra ha-kohen es ha-nega b'yom ha-shvi, v'hine lo fasa ha-nesek, v'lo ha-yavo se'er tzahov, v'mari ha-nesek ein amok min ha-or. So on the seventh day, the kohen looks, and if it hasn't spread, and there is no yellow hair, so then v'hisgalach, v'yas ha-nesek lo yigalech, v'hiskir ha-kohen es ha-nesek shivas yamim v'sheinis. So then there is a hesker for another 7 days. And he is shaven during that time, but not the patch itself. So here we say not the patch itself, so the patch itself is a bald spot, so we don't mean the actual patch itself, but we mean to leave a ring of hair around it, as the Mishnah in the Goyim in Perek Yud clarifies. And it seems that this is for the purpose of providing a siman, so that we'll be able to clarify what happens later. Although there is some debate if that means to provide a baseline, or if that means that this hair that's left itself would fall out if there is going to be any furthering of the situation. The Mishnah Melech in Hilchos Tumas Saras in Paraches Halacha Aleph points out that this seems to be a raya, like the position in the Rishonim, that it's not about a change in skin specifically. Otherwise, why would we need a siman that is about the hair specifically? The Sefer Achinuch notes about this halacha that the reason for this mitzvah and its symbolism is that when a Kadosh Baruch Hu sends you a sign, so you shouldn't try to hide from the sign and try to get rid of it, but rather one is obligated to try to understand what its message is, which is essentially the theme of this entire parsha and this entire topic. But here, this is a emphatic process in order to try to understand what's going on. So the Sefer HaChinuch emphasizes that as part of the message. I should also note that the Gemara in Maseches Kiddushin and Daf Lamed notes that this is the halfway mark for Psukim, although the Torah Tamima notes that it doesn't seem to be that way if we count up, and brings up the question of whether there's a difference between the Masorah and the Gemara in terms of how the Psukim are divided. Just to highlight perhaps the limits of what's acceptable drush or what's acceptable material for drush. So the Paris Yosef quotes a very extreme version of drush on this, noting that this is Pasuk Lamed Gimel and talks about v'hiskalach, that this could be taken as a remez to the idea that you can shave on Lag BaOmer, because Lamed Gimel. So this is an extreme idea of drush, because the psukim numbers are not even Jewish. Those numbers were given by Christians, so the idea that we can darshan psukim numbers would probably be extreme, although there are those who have suggested that Chazal have made drushes out of even non-Jewish words, as we find the Gemara in Gittin has a couple of theories as to what the word prizbol could be interpreted to mean, and prizbol is presumably a Greek word, so perhaps there's not that much of a difference in making a drasha here also. The Aznayim Latorah also notes that there's a big gimel here, and that the big gimel is merames to three, that there's three giluchin, that there are three acts of shaving if we include the tara process, and that's in contrast with the others where there are only two. And here we continue to look to Pasuk Chav Zayin here, to the end. So when the Pasuk here describes V'im Beinav Amar HaNesek, V'Seyar Shachor Tzamachbo Nirpo HaNesek Tarhu V'Tiyar HaKohen. So if at this point the patch seems to have stayed where it is, so, and there is a black hair, again the normal color hair, whatever it is, has grown in it, then nirpa hadesek, so then it is considered healed, and the Kohen declares it to be tahor. So here Rashi has an interesting comment, which requires a little explanation. So v'tahara ha-Kohen, Rashi writes, ha-tame sh'ti haro ha-Kohen lo tahor. So if it was tamei and the Kohen declared it tahor, so then it's not going to be tahor. So it's difficult to understand what the chiddush is. And the Chasam Sofer suggests that the point is that even if this was really just a instance of his shikul hadas, basically of his assessing in a way that wasn't objectively correct, and really it could have been declared tahor, but he declared it tamei, and then declared it, and then somebody else declared it tahor afterwards, but nonetheless, its original declaration of Tuma stays, and that this idea of Kamdina, when it was an instance of Shikul Hadas, is applied to other situations of Din. This is a discussion in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, and he suggests that it's actually derived from here, and the discussion of when you say it and when you don't say it, that's something that has to be assessed, and that's something that he discusses in his commentary here. So the language here of Imbe Einav, the Torah's Kohenim understands the implication to be that this language includes not only the Kohen, but also his son or a student. And the Aznayim Latorah asks why it is specifically in this context that it's extended to not just the Kohen, but also somebody who's under his influence. And he suggests that it's specifically this type of nega where this is the case, because of that simen that we noted before, that ring of hair that's around it, that gives the possibility for others to assess. But with the other negayim, where you don't have that simen, that wouldn't be the case, and it would only be the original Kohen whose judgment would be trusted. So that raises the question of why indeed it's the case that it's only this nega that has the simen and others don't. And he discusses in an earlier comment, there's Naim LaTorah, that the Torah was actually of the opinion that regarding the other negayim, that there was actually a marking of color that was made around it in order to create a baseline. But he noted that all the other mafarshim did not agree with this. And the reason seems to be because it would seem that that is falsifiable, that someone could just take the color and erase it and make his own color, and the Kohen will probably fall for it. So, therefore, that's not a valid system, while when it comes to the hair, that's not the case, and therefore the hair is possible to use as a simen, and coloring there isn't, so it's only this particular nega where it's a possibility, and others, that's not the case. The idea of nirpa hanesek, so the Oznayim LaTorah also comments that it's not simply that it's tahor, but it is actually healed, and therefore even after the black hairs are gone, it's still considered to be good. But if new simanei tumah would show up, so then it would indeed be tameh, as the Rambam points out in Hilchos Tumas Saras. In the end of the Aliyah, so there's an additional din here of an interesting nature. The Aliyah ends with V'isho isha kiyav or b'saram b'heres levanos v'ra kohen v'nei b'or b'saram b'haros kehos levanos bohaku parach b'or tarhu. So if a man or woman has white spots, bright spots, so then the kohen looks and they're a dull white, so then this is a bohaku that just grows there, and this is tahor. So this is an unusual din in order that needs to be taught, because if this is not one of the four types of negayim that we've been taught about already, so we understand that it's tahor. So why does this need to be conveyed to us, and why does it need to be shown to a kohen? So the Naim LaTorah has a discussion of what the nafkamina would be of it being a saras that is tahor. Rav Moshe Feinstein has an additional comment in his Darash Moshe that this is an important point to appreciate, that even a Talmud Chacham who knows what the status is apparently is nonetheless still going to bring it to a Kohen to look at, because everyone should take advantage of whatever messages are coming to him from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So every shinoi, every change, should be seen as an opportunity for tshuva, just like the Gemara says in Maseches Erechin, that any little experience that a person has that's negative, if he reaches into his pocket for a coin and picks up the wrong number of coins, so that could be a kapara, or he has a very minor negative experience, so that could be considered an atonement for something. So the message seems to be that sometimes a Kadosh Baruch Hu takes our need for atonement and converts it into some very minor experience. So to hear, even though that's the whole theme of the parsha, that we achieve a kapara and a move towards introspection through these negayim, so sometimes that will end up being converted into a situation that's not even meeting that threshold, and that's going to be declared tar, but that should also then be taken as an opportunity for introspection also, and therefore that's why these circumstances are held up to that level as well. Thank you.